welcome to all of you to our Sunday morning worship service. It is good to see you here. It is good to be here. Special welcome to our musical group, The Color, and we appreciate their willingness to come and join us this morning to lead us in our worship in song. I'm going to ask them to more formally introduce themselves as they just a little bit later. They have been incredibly busy this last year, 120 performances that they did, 120 concerts, extending all the way from east to west in Canada, all the way up to the Yukon. There's been a lot of travel, and it's been a busy, good time for them to be. Mark, do you want to say a little more about Friday, please?
I just wanted to highlight on Friday evening at MCI Bueller Hall. The Color will be there as well. And for those that want tickets from our youth, you'll have to get them call MCI. As a youth, though, we're not going to be going. But yeah, if you want tickets, you can call MCI and get them. It's $5. Hope to see you there.
You're not going to get a much better deal than $5 a ticket. Not these days. We're grateful that Gary and Carla Fair and Abe and Viola Fair have agreed to serve as deacons for a 3-year term. We were unable to fill a third position, but we'd like to proceed with the installation next Sunday anyway, even though Abe and Viola won't be back until middle of February. We'll just do it in their absence and invite Abe and, Gary and Carla to participate in that with us next Sunday. Let's continue to remember Tenley Falk, and her family. Coughing and fever and treatments for pneumonia have continued to be there. Raises continued questions about ongoing care with cancer care as well. Thank you so much to the care group, though, for your continued involvement in the lives of that group and the lives of that family as well. There are so many ways that we can continue to shed the light of God's presence into this world and its people. Just to note, our annual prayer services start tomorrow and Tuesday, 7:30, on both evenings. Other announcements, Finance Committee is asking all committees to please get your budgets into them to either Haiti Falk or to Grant Fair by the end of January. The sign-up sheet for our annual church retreat, take note, it's on the bulletin board, and there's a whole insert on about that retreat, and there is a picture in there as well. My question was, is that a picture of Donovan or Walter? I need some help in figuring that out. Donovan thought it could be him, but he wasn't quite sure. Oh. There you go, Walter. Nice try. That's good. Are there any other announcements we need to take note of? Eugene Peterson writes, "The Psalms show us the shape of our souls and the curve of our sins, realities deep within us, hidden and obscured, for which we need a focus and we need names. The Psalms as prayer give voice to what we sense or want or respond to before God. Everything that anyone can feel or experience in relation to God is in these prayers. In them we explore all the parts of our lives. We say who we are, what is in us, and we bring this, all of it, to God. O come, let us sing to the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation." And we might ask why, and he says, "For the Lord is a great God, and a great King above all gods. For he is our God, and we are the people of his pasture and the sheep of his hand. It is an honor and a privilege to praise our God."
Let's bow to pray.
Thanks be to you, O God, for being our God. May our words, our singing, our praying, and our worship be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen.
How are you doing this morning? Good. I'm going to invite you to stand with us as we worship together. We are The Color, and we'll just do some quick introductions here. This is Larry. Say hi, Larry. He's a friendly guy. This is James. Say hi, James. Back on the drums, we have Tyson. Say hi, Tyson. My name's Jordan. Hi. Hi, guys. And we're excited to be here with you this morning. It's a little confusing, we got to be honest. Rosetown, Manitoba, Blumenort Mennonite Church. Do you guys have a Gretna address? Is that true? What is going on? It's good to be here. And we're going to worship together. It's starting with a song called Revelation Song. The chorus goes like this. Sing with me.
Holy, holy, holy is the Lord God Almighty. Was indeed and is to come. With all creation I see, praise to the King of Kings. You are my everything, and I will adore you. Mercy, holy, 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 holy.
Blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be your name.
every blessing.
Oh, every blessing pour out, I'll turn back to pray. When the darkness closes in, Lord, still I will say, blessed be the name of the Lord, and blessed be your name. Blessed be the name of the Lord. Blessed be your glorious name. In Christ alone, my hope is found. He is my light, my strength, my song. This cornerstone, this solid ground, found through the fiercest trial and storm, where hearts of love, where depths of peace, when fears are still, when striving cease, my comforter, my all in all, here in the
to be here this morning. We're happy to lead and to share through music and to worship together. It is a privilege to be able to be here, even though, you know, it's honestly just down the street. I live in Plum Coulee. Anybody here live in Plum Coulee? Anybody? Yeah, you do. That's awesome. So usually we, as mentioned before, we travel all across the country. We tour and do shows and connects and partner with churches. And it really has taken us everywhere. It's been quite incredible to be a part of this journey, and it's something that started as just a tiny dream with a bunch of high school boys that just wanted to be in a band. And it's crazy how God can use those little giftings and let's guess. And he just develops them and matures them and kind of just sends us on our way. And it really is a privilege to be a part of it and a privilege to be here so close to home with you this morning. We want to take a bit of time to share a little bit about our journey. And we do a lot of music, and that's kind of the obvious thing. If you go on our website, you can listen to our songs. But there's so much going on in what we do, and we have the opportunity to come up here on stage and share a little bit about what God has put on our hearts. And so this morning, we're going to do that. How many of you guys love Christmas? This is Christmas season. We're just kind of past it. Is there anybody in this room that knows how many days it is until next Christmas? That might... No? Okay. Well, that's a... Yeah, you do, actually. How many days? 344 days until Christmas. That's wonderful. I appreciate that. Thank you. You know, it's this crazy time, Christmas, where we get together and we spend time with family, and it can be really happy. Some people don't really appreciate the reminder of what's going on and just the family situations, and Christmas can be a difficult time. As a kid, I just really enjoyed opening presents. It was really simple for me. I loved opening gifts. How many of you guys like opening gifts? You can be honest. It's not a bad thing. There's this crazy reality that, well, I've three siblings. There's four of us in the family. I'm the oldest. And there is a reality that for the first 10 years or so of our lives, I opened more of their presents than they did. I don't know. Has anybody have this problem? It's something I'm continually working on. I was reminded of it this Christmas as we have a little niece in our family, and I was opening her presents. It was unintentional, but it happened. But it's true. I love getting gifts. And I remember on one Christmas in particular where we had this gathering. We had all our extended family there, and we were going to do this cousin gift exchange. But on this particular year, the cousin who had my name and my gift couldn't make it. So I just remember we were all sitting in this big circle, and I'm just watching them open their gifts, and there's nothing for me. And you understand a little bit already my problem. And so I couldn't handle this. And like, I was trying to shut my face off, but the tears were just streaming down my face, and I was having a really tough go. I was like 15. I'm just kidding. I was like 6 or 7. But I clearly remember this moment where one of my older cousins came up to me, and he was like, "Jordan, I want you to have my box of Lego. Here, you can have my gift. This is an awe moment. Thank you. It was just this really incredible moment where he was so willing to give. And this is this truth I want to share with you this morning, that God has given each one of you a gift to use to bring glory to his kingdom. You all have it. Some of you, maybe it's more obvious. Some of you maybe come up on stage and share or lead worship. We have some piano leading us this morning. And maybe it's an obvious gift, but for some of you, it's maybe not quite so clear. So I'm going to help you this morning. Just understand that you truly do, each one of you, you have a gift that God has given you. Maybe it's as simple as your home. There's a reality. We've been having some vehicle issues, I'll be honest. This morning the van didn't start again, Dad, just so you know. But it's cold outside. It's so cold. And there's this reality that in this world we live in southern Manitoba, if we didn't have a home, things would end quite poorly, quite quickly for us. We would actually die. It's a crazy thing. Is a crazy truth. Not everywhere in Canada is like this. We choose to be here. It's family, I guess. It must be the reason. But your home is a gift. Even if it's not a great place to be, it's a gift. Food is a gift. I love food. I'm coming off like a really busy couple of weeks where I've just been eating a lot. It's been a lot of work, but it's been good. I love steak. I like Big Macs. I do. I like bacon. Anybody like bacon? We got some pig farmers in the room, I know. Food is so great, and even the fact that we can speak this way and just like foods that we like and foods that we choose to eat just speaks to the abundant nature of what we have. We have so incredibly much. Each one of us has a gift, and this is something that's been kind of continually growing and stirring in my own heart, this understanding that we have much to give, because it's not necessarily our nature. We can speak out the truth of our Mennonite backgrounds, and just we work hard for what we get, and we like to keep it, and we don't really like to we don't want to give something if we don't know where it's going, and we're just kind of hesitant at times, and I totally understand that and am that way. That is in my blood. but God has given us so much to give. And it's been this continual journey where we've have been able to have encounters and experiences with different people who have really shaped this understanding of what it truly means to give. And one of those people that we met, her name is Margarita, and she's got two daughters, Glendy and Maddie, and we met her in a country called Guatemala, and we got a video that we want you to check out.
I heard someone say in a message, being a Christian should dramatically improve the lives of those around you, because it's a selfless thing. And the saying stuck with me, but when I came here this week and I saw the Guatemalan people and I saw Margarita, how did it come to life? The amount that she was able to give, and she had nothing. Bed she has for her and her two girls. They sleep in there together. There's a point in our time with her where she didn't know she'd get a chance to prepare some food for us, and she was just so disappointed that she wasn't able. Recognizing where her priorities are and what she values, and it was really a challenging experience where we left and we're like, man, we just, at times, we feel it's just so insignificant. What are we doing with our lives? At the same time, we go through this process to recognize what a cool opportunity we have to be able to bring hope and to make these connections for and with World Vision.
Can you give us a high five for the good job?
So we are about to meet our sponsor child, Jeremiah. He is 5 years old, turning 6 in like a week.
Yep.
And
just missed his birthday.
I know. We got some gifts for him. We're excited to meet him.
It's a total game changer. You look at this card and you see it right up about their situation. And I knew that his dad farmed, and on a good year, it's hard for him to make ends meet. And yet, all of a sudden, they come walking past the fence. And you put down this picture of him, and you pick up a person. A little boy who smiles and laughs and loves to play and loves bubblegum. And he needs to be given a chance. And you have a... you have a part to play in that. They're people. They're not pictures. They're people.
It's a surreal experience to make a real-life connection. For myself, it goes from the head to the heart in that moment. And then it's so much less about, hey, we're coming down and we're going to change your life. It's so much more about, hey, we have the opportunity to build a relationship. And we're going to do this together because it's a team. And when you see it, and it's present in the way that they interact with us.
We desire to be able to do things as easy as possible, and almost our desire is often is to be able to do nothing. And that's a totally different mentality. To make it, it's not about the ease of yourself, it's about benefiting those around you. God has given enough for all, but he hasn't given all enough. And so we have to work together. It's not an option. We absolutely have to work together. These are people, these are souls. If only we could see each one of these people, not as names or organizations, but as souls who Christ dearly loves. We will change this world. We do this together.
So you get a glimpse into our journey with Margarita, and it was that moment where she just really wanted to serve us food. She just so desperately wanted to have this time of fellowship. And we were sitting there eating our cream of corn and our cup of coffee that she had prepared it. And it just struck me that, like, this wasn't the leftovers. This wasn't the extra stuff in the pantry. This was the very food that they needed to survive. And they had no struggle in that moment to just be like, you are strangers, but we love you and we want to serve you. And it just struck a chord in our hearts, and it really broke us. And we walked away with tears in our eyes. Just, like, what is going on? How does this make sense? And we felt so guilty because there's this reality that so often we hold so tightly to these things that we feel we've been given, we deserve to have, and it's just not the case. We've been given to serve and to give and to love like our Father has loved us. And we just saw the true example of Jesus through Margarita. And so this morning, as we share about this, there is a point, and there is there's a response. And how many of you guys has sponsorship in some form? World Vision, Compassion, Food for the Hungry. There's a lot of different things that you guys may be. I think that's awesome. That's so good. It's a lot of things that you're already able to do, but there's just this understanding that we've had that there's always a little bit more we can do. And I believe that I don't need to keep talking about this, because the need is so clear and we understand it, and the response is so simple. It takes so little to change the lives of people around the world who live in this reality that unless somebody else who has more is willing to respond, then things don't change, and the cycle of poverty, it doesn't break. And so this morning we want to invite you to be a part of this. We want to invite you to sponsor a family, a child like Marguerite and her daughters. I'm going to invite Larry and Tyson to come forward. And what they have in their hands is different picture folders which tell the story of different families. And they're kind of, I think, from the Central America area. That was not, well, this one is from Bangladesh. And this is Shantona. Thank you, Larry. Birthday on January 2nd, so just recently. And what you get to do is you get to be a part of the lives of these kids. And right here, I'll read a little bit about it. Shantona, she lives with her parents, has one sister, and helps at home by running errands. Is in preschool. Favorite subject is number counting. Likes to play with dolls and is in good health. Praise the Lord. What you get to do is be a part of these families, and not just simply with your support, which goes incredibly far, but you get to be a part of building relationship and sharing the love of Christ, which we just believe is necessary to change the cycle. God is doing great things around the world. He's doing great things through your church. He's doing great things through the missionaries that you've sent out. And we believe today that you can make a big difference and do a great thing in your home. And we've just been blessed by so many people being willing to just step out. We've seen grandchildren, grandparents sponsor for their grandchildren. We've seen little kids, 7 years old, come together and say, hey, we can't do this on our own. I don't know what they get for allowance, but apparently with their allowance together, they can afford to do this. And it's just crazy to see what God is doing through the lives of us Canadians all around the world. And so, if this is something that interests you, you want to take a look at it, I'm going to encourage you to just throw up your hand. It's real simple. These guys are going to do that. They're going to have these and give them to you. These guys aren't scary. I mentioned Larry Tyson. Larry's got a great big smile, and he's really friendly. Tyson looks a little tough around the edges, but he's a sweetheart, and he's got a little boy. He likes watching chick flicks, so you have nothing to fear. But these guys are going to walk through, and it's very simple. You're going to take one. You can read the story and get a little bit more information about their lives. And what you're going to do with that paper is you're going to fill it out. We got pens at our table over there. You might have seen it when you walked in. You're going to fill that out and leave the part of that with us. You're going to take your child home. And as a thank you from us as a band, we're going to give you a CD, just a small gift, token of our appreciation for being a part of this with us and being willing to hear our story and hear our hearts this morning. God is good. He is faithful, and He has provided for us, and we just have the opportunity to serve and provide for others. If you don't take one now, that's okay. You can come back to the table later on. We got lots of kids who need your help, and you can take a look and match birthdays and match names and in different countries maybe that you've been to before. There's lots of different ways to connect with the family. As those guys are walking through, we're going to shift gears and do a little bit more singing. And we were asked this morning to share a little bit about why we chose the band name The Color. And there is a reality that choosing a band name is incredibly difficult. Has anybody chosen a band name before? There's got to be somebody here and there. Right there? Wonderful. And I'd like to hear what it is, actually. Do you want to shout it out? What's your band name? Your band name is I Don't Know? That would be awesome. It is a tough process, and we went through many, 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 many names. Most of them were not very good. But we got to this point of frustration where my mother was like, you know what, you can pick anything. You can pick, like, the color orange. And we're like, oh, that's really interesting. And we did not go with that name, but we shortened it and simplified it. I don't usually tell that part of the story. It's just kind of where it went this morning. But the meaning behind it for us is just this understanding that color brings life to the world around us. As we're driving down the one we drove in a straight line this morning to get here, and I was just looking around, and just the pinks and the yellows, and it was just so beautiful and so full of life. And we believe that Christ has come down to bring us life, and through our music, it is our desire to bring life. And so that is why we are called The Color. I'm going to invite you to stand with me as we sing This Is Amazing Grace. Let's sing together.
This is amazing grace. This is unfailing love. That you would take my place. That you would bear my cross. You would lay down your life. That I would be set free. Jesus, I sing for all that you've done for me. Thank you.
like to teach you a song, and it's real simple. Some of these songs may already be new to you. We appreciate your grace and your willingness to try to sing them out, and just even sometimes to be able to soak in the lyrics is such a powerful thing. This song is called One Sure Thing, and there's three words that you really need to know. Actually, that's not true. There's four words. And they are, I bet you can guess them, the one sure thing. Can you say that with me? The one sure thing. One more time. The one sure thing. Okay, chorus goes like this. It's real simple. You'll see where it fits in. You are the constant and you won't change. The one sure thing. The one sure thing. You are the promise that never will break. The one sure thing. Sing it out. The beautiful. The fear that assailed me is starting to fade. You are my strength that I can take on these days. In a world that's unraveling, you're the one sure. We're going to try it out together. It feels like I'm walking the world, shifting lights. Looking for a solid stone where I can stand. It feels like a fog where so many believe. Nothing is certain but uncertainty. But Jesus, my eyes are on you. It's clear to me. You are the constant and you won't change. The one sure thing. The one sure thing. If you are the promise that never will break. The one sure thing. The one sure thing. The fear that is telling me is starting to fade. You are my strength, I can take on these days. In a world that's unraveling, you're the one sure thing. Just keep those hands going. Whoa. Walking around in a city where anything goes. Looking at all of the beautiful yet empty souls. The fallout of lies that are falling apart. It's no surprise seeing such hopeless hearts. But this is my light in the dark. Oh, you are the constant and you won't change. The one sure thing, the one sure thing. And you are the promise that never will break. The one sure thing. The one sure thing. The fear that is telling me is starting to fade. You are my strength, I can take on these days. In a world that's unraveling, you're the one sure. The one sure thing. The one sure thing, yeah. The one sure thing. It feels like a fog where so many believe. Nothing is certain but uncertainty. Alright, we're gonna sing it out together. Here we go. You are the constant and you won't change. Although, yeah. You are the promise that never will break. That is telling me, starting to fade. You are my strength, I can take on these days. In a world that's unraveling, you're the one sure. The one sure thing. The one sure thing, yeah. The one sure thing. The one sure thing, yeah. Let me pray. Father, we thank you for this morning, and And just for the reminder of your constant nature, of your grace, that it is in you alone, as we sang earlier, that our hope is found. And I pray as we come into this place to gather together with different stories and different experiences from our last week, God, I just pray that we'd be able to be reminded and to come before you with whatever is going on in our lives, to just say, God, you are good, and to lay it at your feet. God, I pray that we would be rejuvenated, that we'd be encouraged this morning, encouraged that it is not our strength that carries us, but it is you. And we just thank you for these words and these songs this morning, Father. I pray this in your name. Amen. You may have a seat. I invite the ushers to come forward at this time. We will be collecting the offering as well.
Floating me, it came.
burdens fall. For the Lord our God, He is on your side. Let Him take them all. In our weakness, we see His strength rise.
Thank you for that song. Thank you for those words and the reminder and the message. Thank you. From Psalm 100, these words. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all ye lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into His presence with singing. Know that the Lord is God, for it is He that made us, and we are His. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter His gates with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name, for the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and His faithfulness to all generations. It was always early in the morning, just before daylight was beginning to stream across the Kidron Valley, on the east side of the temple, the watchman blew his trumpet. And he wasn't only announcing the arrival of a new day, he was summoning the people to come and worship. And so come they did, from every nook and cranny, every apartment and house and dwelling. And as they were streaming into the streets, just when the sun was sending its first rays across the Kidron Valley, they sang the song of ascents as they made their way up the incline toward the temple. As more and more people joined the throng, the singing became louder and fuller until the whole multitude burst through the outer courts of the temple and they stood before the Lord in silent awe and worship. Psalm 100 was probably sung as people made their entry into the temple, and it probably became a regular part of the thank offering service. Then it was the choir of priests that took up the song at verse 4, just as the congregation passed through the gates of the temple and entered its courts. Enter His courts with thanksgiving and His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him and bless His name. I think what's instructive here is that these people weren't just singing these songs or words to one another meaninglessly. They weren't just giving lip service to some kind and pious meaning and purpose. There was something that represented the bedrock of the Israelite faith, and there were two things. The Lord of Israel alone is God. Nothing and nobody else. Not the army, not Baal, not the Philistines, the Egyptians or Syrians, not even they themselves. No other power was a legitimate source of praise. We are God's people, the sheep of God's pasture. What we have and who we are is what we have been given. And number two, God is good. How do we know this? Because God's steadfast love endures forever, and God's faithfulness to all generations was their repeated refrain, past, present, and future. God was the one who was creating and shaping and molding and fashioning and stretching out and measuring and commanding everything into being. This is the God they were coming to worship, a God who was always in favor of life. How was it that they had this kind of a story and a faith? What caused them to praise God with all their being? They had come to experience this for themselves. Recognizing it was central to their life and memory. Just two examples. 2 Chronicles chapter 5. Solomon assembled all the leaders and people to bring the Ark of the Covenant into the temple. All the Levitical priests with their relatives stood east of the altar with 120 priests who were trumpeters. You know what the text says? It says it was the duty of the trumpeters and singers to make themselves heard in unison in praise and thanksgiving to God. Talk about the decibels in that place. There was no shortage. The song was raised with trumpets and cymbals and other musical instruments in praise to the Lord, and they sang that familiar refrain, "For he is good, for his steadfast love endures forever." And it says, "The house of the Lord was filled with a cloud, so the priests could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of God." Incredible. Can you imagine what a service that must have been? When you experience that, you never forget that. It leaves its mark. Or 2 Chronicles chapter 20. When Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, was facing a huge army that had come against him, he called the people together for worship and prayer. They were given the certainty to fear not. God would fight for them, grant them victory. This is God's battle, not yours. So they praised the Lord with a loud voice, and next morning they set out, and it was the singers who went out in front of the army, praising the Lord in holy array, and they sang the familiar refrain, "Give thanks to God, for his steadfast love and mercy endures forever." A people's image of God is always shaped by the songs they sing. Israel had experienced a God whose care and power was a radical, transforming love, care, and power. A God of the impossible to lead them out of Egypt, Abraham and Sarah having a son, Moses and Noah and David, and a whole host of unlikely characters. They sang out of a long memory. They sang so they wouldn't forget. Your favorite songs are your power songs, the ones that you gain inspiration from. But the most powerful ones are the ones you create, which include your history, your tradition, and your name. In some African cultures, it is not unfamiliar that when a child is born into the community will gather around and they will create a song for that child, which has its name, its history, its tradition embedded within that song. That is the song that you carry with you. That is your song. Can you imagine this power of that song to shape and to influence your life and your character? Some cultures say, sing for your life. You sing every day. Some African cultures say, if you can walk, you can dance. If you can talk, you can sing. And the early church always had a saying, first you sing it, and then you believe it. We live in a culture that finds it hard to relate to praise. We are always led to think that we have to live and work to accomplish things, to achieve goals, to live useful lives, to justify our existence with all kinds of programs. Do you know that praise in and of itself does no earthly good? It doesn't clothe the naked. It doesn't feed the hungry. It doesn't correct oppression. It doesn't set the captives free. It doesn't do any of that. And the Bible nowhere suggests that we're supposed to praise God because that's what it does. Instead, what it says is we're supposed to praise God simply because we're supposed to. Psalm 81 verse 4 says it is a statue of God given to Jacob and to Judah. God's people offer praise because they are God's people. And praise means giving honor where honor is due, and all honor belongs to God. And here's the deal. Praising is useful and necessary because it pays attention to what the world does not see. Always. Remember Paul and Silas when they got stuck in jail and feet in the stocks, and at midnight they had endured no hours and hours of pain and unrelenting torture in terms of the position that they were left to sit in. And at midnight, they sang. Brueggemann calls this worship as world-making. The jailer in his household experienced that new world. There was baptism. They washed their wounds. There was food and rejoicing. And like Israel's praise, which anticipated a world beyond the present reality they were living in, every time they sang their praises, they committed themselves to that vision, to the making of a new world in the present and for the future. One more point on that, though, that's really important. Do you know that making something new or whole or complete happens exactly where life is torn and rent or flawed? This tearing makes new life possible. You can't put new wine into old wineskins. The truth that heals must emerge in the midst of the reality of specific pain. Because in Israel, all of their cries of frustration about their situations or about their enemies or their hurt or doubt or vengeance and isolation was not buried or stifled. It never was, but was given expression in the midst of the reality of life. If we keep a lid on all present reality, if we deny the pain, if we pretend that all is well when it isn't, then our praise lacks conviction and power. It is not true to life. It denies a God who suffers. It creates an idol out of God, in which God is not capable of any power of transformation in our lives. It has to be true to life. Praise happens in the midst of the irreducible reality of pain. Like at a funeral, when we sing, "God will take care of you," that only has integrity and power and conviction when the hurt and trouble has been honestly faced and not denied. If you think of the Mennonite exodus out of Russia, the train that rumbled toward the final checkpoint, Charlie, and nobody on board is overly confident. Nobody knows if they're going to come through that checkpoint or are going to be sent back. They are not sure. And when all is said and done and the final papers are signed and the train begins to move past, and what do the passengers do? They begin to sing. And what do they sing? Nun danket alle Gott. Now thank we all our God. From the depths of their souls, in tribute to God, comes this melody and the words. Think of the integrity of those notes and the words sung from the context of great suffering. That is world-making, a reordering of the present reality. Think of the tradition of the Russian Orthodox music and the history that it comes from. Or the African-American tradition and the songs they sing. Swing low, sweet chariot, a balm in Gilead. Thank God Almighty, I'm free at last. There's a better world a-coming. Nobody knows the trouble I've seen. We shall overcome. I always have to think of my grandmother. After the untimely death of her husband and after the drought-filled years of the 1930s, being first-generation immigrants and needing to look after six children, when life was incredibly difficult, you ask her, "So what did you do? How did you manage?" Well, she thought about that for a while, and then it didn't take her long to say, well, two things. She prayed a whole lot, and she sang. She sang a whole lot. I always remember her singing. She was always humming and singing some tune of some sort. And do you think she always felt like singing? I doubt it. But the song wouldn't let go of her. And she needed to give it expression. And it had this profound effect on her faith, her prayer life, her character, and her children and grandchildren. See, because in the midst of that, you put in quotation marks, in the midst of that stuff, the newness comes. I don't know how, it's a mystery, but I believe it because I've seen it. God transforms something within people. Trouble is defeated and Israel must sing. They sing at great cost and with great hope, with great resilient hope. Israel, Paul, and Silas, and my grandmother, they sing about a God who continues to make and remake, to create and destroy and remake. And they sing out of this long, long memory of God being active in their lives, transforming them one step at a time. They sing and they will not stop, even in exile or in prison. They continue the song, keeping their relationship with God open and dynamic and vibrant. Do you remember Mr. Beethoven, Ludwig van Beethoven? He knew a whole lot about depression and unhappiness. He did a lot of moving around to try and find just the right place for him to live, and he made a mess out of a lot of relationships. He quarreled with his friends a lot. He worried a lot about a favorite nephew of his. And Beethoven, he wanted to be a number one pianist, and he wanted to sing well, but oh, so early in life. He began to lose his hearing. And by the time he was 48 years of age, he was totally deaf. His major work, his Ninth Symphony, was only finished 5 years after he became deaf. He never heard it. But he heard all of it in his mind. It was there. And one writer recalls a conversation with a woman on the phone. She pressed him about, so what do you do when you're feeling really low and depressed and really out of sorts and the world is all spinning backwards? What do you do? Well, he said, I put on the Ninth Symphony by Beethoven. And he says he pulls the earphones down tight and he lies down on the floor. And the music comes on like the first day of creation. And the crescendo rises. And by the time the final kettle drum drowns out all those double fortes, he says, I'm on my feet, singing at the top of my lungs in gibberish German with a mighty choir and jumping up and down, directing the final awesome moments of the end of the world and the coming of God and all the angels, hallelujah, hallelujah, wahoom, kaboom, bamba, he says. Man alive. Uplifted, exalted, excited, and inspired, and affirmed, and overwhelmed am I. Out of all of that sorrow and trouble, out of all of that frustration and that deep, deep-seated disappointment, out of all that deep and permanent silence, comes all of that majesty, that outpouring of joy and exaltation. Beethoven. He defied his lot with jubilation. And the writer says it's enough to wipe out spiritual rot, feeling sorry for oneself and a cure-all for the noise about life and people being no good. You see, within music, with your special music and my special music and Beethoven's music, there is an unceasing affirmation of resurrection power. Something of the sun of summer in the midst of deep spiritual winter. Find your special music. Allow it to heal you. Allow the Spirit of God to put a new song into your heart. A song of acceptance of the love and the grace and the faithfulness of God. And someday, as we were reminded by the color, some incredible day with Paul and Silas and all the saints, we will join. We'll join with a mighty throng around the throne of God. And like the book of Revelation tells us, there we will sing a new song saying, worthy are you. We will glorify and enjoy God forever. Meanwhile, here on earth, from the context of specific pain, from the memory of God's grace, and from our yieldedness to God, we continue to praise God, creating another world, giving expression to the fact that God cares about us and is active indeed in this world. The writer of the short article on Beethoven concludes it this way. Someday, some incredible December night, when I am very, very rich, I am going to rent me a grand hall and a great choir and a mighty symphony orchestra, and I want to stand on the podium and conduct the ninth. And I will personally play the kettle drum part all the way through to the glorious end, while simultaneously singing along at the very top of my lungs. And in the awesome silence that follows, I will bless God for Ludwig van Beethoven, for his ninth and his light. Thanks be to God. Amen.
We're going to close with a song. I'm going to invite you to stand. But before we do that, I want to remind you, if you did take one of those kids, we thank you for that. That's amazing. We just want to make sure that you understand how it works, because sometimes it's not clear and I forget to tell people. So here's how it works. Each folder represents a child in a family, as I've said already. And so what we need you to do is make sure that you don't walk out of this building without filling out the information necessary for that child and family. Because if you take it with you, then it just gets lost in the mix. It gets really confusing. It can take months before that family can get put back into the program. So we want to make sure that you know there's a part of that folder that you need to fill out. Come to the table, talk to us. We'll get you your CD. And we'd love to chat with you, too. We're going to be down there after this song. We'd love to get to know you guys a bit better. Thank you for your support and for being willing to bring us in to share with you this morning. Let's sing together. Bless the Lord.
Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy name. Sing like never before. Oh, 10,000 years and then forevermore. Forevermore. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Oh my soul. Worship His holy.
Thank you for your time together here this morning. Thank you for coming and your willingness to come and be here. And like they mentioned, there is a table set up. There's a display there for us to look at further information and CDs and all kinds. There's lots of information there. And I'd like to meet with you guys after. Let's bow for the benediction. Let's pray. May the God of steadfastness and encouragement grant you to live in harmony with one another, in accordance with Christ Jesus, so that together, with one voice, we may glorify the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the Lord bless you and keep you now and always. Amen.